हरे कृष्ण। On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we very gratefully welcome you to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Temple. Tomorrow is Purnima, the full moon of the season of Sharad. It is the most blessed occasion. As the moon was rising, that Lord Sri Krishna, playing upon his flute under the tree, worshipped as Bamsi Bhat, called his most beloved devotees to perform the supreme pastime of spiritual love. This occasion will be celebrated in a very beautiful way tomorrow evening, when there will be a once a year very special darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, the Astasakis. We invite all of you, if possible, please do attend tomorrow. Tomorrow also establishes the first day of the month of Kartik, or the month of Damodar, considered the holiest of all months, where every moment within those 30 days is a very special opportunity to make immense spiritual progress by sincerely absorbing our consciousness in the remembrance of Krishna, in that holy spirit of servant, of the servant, of the servant. Tomorrow also marks holy advent of disappearance of one such devotee who, when offered any benediction within the material or spiritual existence, only begged for the one boon to always remember the Lord, chant the names of the Lord in the association of devotees as the servant of the servant of their servants. Today I would like to speak on this most glorious associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name, Murari Gupta. Lord Chaitanya, he proclaimed, Gupta means hidden. Murari is Krishna. Although Murari Gupta appears to be an ordinary householder with wife, family responsibilities, His occupation, he was an Ayurvedic doctor. Lord Chaitanya said that Krishna, Murari, is always secretly hidden within his heart. Therefore, we call him Murari Gupta. Common people think he's just a family man with an ordinary occupation, but he is most exalted of devotees. Anyone who considers him to just be a common person and makes such an offense will never please Krishna, because he is of such a compassionate, loving spirit that anyone who subjects himself to Murari Gupta's compassion will be forever healed, both physically as well as spiritually. According to the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is agreed that Murari Gupta is the full-fledged incarnation of Hanuman in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Murari Gupta's birthplace we just visited not long ago in Bangladesh, just outside of the city of Sylhet, which at that time was known as Srihatta. Murari Gupta's parents were very distinguished doctors of the Ayurvedic science. When he was just a young boy, his family moved to Srinavadweep, near the banks of the river Ganga. There are a few stories I'd like to share with you. Murari Gupta was several years older than Lord Chaitanya, who, when a child, the Lord was known as Nimai. One day, Murari Gupta was walking with some of his students, colleagues, and Murari was explaining to them the Yoga Sutras. And this little child, Nimai, was following right behind. Everything Murari would speak, Nimai would repeat those words in a very ridiculing manner. Nimai would imitate every motion of Murari's arms, the gait of his walk, but he would do it in an exaggerated way to make all of his friends laugh. Murari Gupta became very annoyed because Nimai just wouldn't stop doing this. He said, "Nimai, what are you doing?" And Nimai said, "Nimai, what are you doing?" He said, "Nimai, you are supposed to be a very distinguished son of a learned Brahmin. You are supposed to be very sober. Nimai, you are supposed to be very sober." Murari Gupta, very disturbed, said, "Why don't you go somewhere else? Why don't you go somewhere else?" Then Nimai said, "Today, when you're taking your lunch prasad, I will make you see something wonderful." Nimai disappeared. Mararigupta, absorbed in his daily activities, forgot all about this occasion. And he went home, and he sat down on the floor to take his lunch. He was brought nice rice, other preparations. Just when he started eating, Nimai appeared at the door, but he was disguised, dressed up in a very ornamented way. He had a costly silk garment around his hips. His hair was tied in three knots in a very elegant way. He had tulsi beads and around his neck and pearls, ornaments hanging upon his chest. He cried out very loudly, "Murari!" And Murari Gupti then remembered about what happened earlier that day. He said, "Nimai, why have you come?" Nimai said, "Oh, don't mind me. I'm just here. Just go on with your prasad. Just carry on. Eat your prasad. I'm just here." So Murari Gupta, eating his prasad, Nimai very slowly, making no noise at all, crept closer, 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 closer. Suddenly, Nimai passed urine in Murari Gupta's rice prasad. Murari was shocked. He jumped up and said, "Nimai, what have you done? What have you done? Are you not ashamed of yourself? Shame! Shame on you for what you have done." And Nimai, clapping his hands, dancing gleefully, called out, "I have come to teach you." If you want to attain Krishna, your love and devotion must be pure. It cannot be mixed with karma or jnana, fruit of activities or desire for liberation. Krishna is the most compassionate, beautiful, all-attracted Lord of Vrindavan. The lover of the gopis, he can only be approached through pure devotional service. Murari, do not mix pure devotional service with these materialistic ambitions. It is like mixing Mahaprasad with urine. And then he disappeared. Murari Gupta went looking. Who is this? Was this Nimai? It must have been Nimai. And he went to Jagannath Mishra's house, and there little Nimai was on the lap of his mother and father, and they were kissing him and kissing him with so much parental affection. Murari Gupta, who is a very highly respected Ayurvedic doctor, even when he was young, he offered his obeisances again and again and again to little Nimai on their lap. He said, "What are you doing? Has he done some offense to you? You should be blessing our son. You should not be offering obeisances. You should bless him." And Murari Gupta replied, "You do not know who your son is. Can't you understand? He's the Supreme Lord of the universe who has come to reveal to the world the highest treasure of pure love. Someday you will understand this." By the Lord's own Yogamaya potency, even Murari Gupta forgot the supreme nature of Lord Chaitanya. It was covered so that their pastimes could be more intimate and sweet. Years passed. Nimai was about 16 years old. He was a student in the school of Ganga Das Pandit, the best teacher in all of Navadvip. And Nimai, he was playing his role as a pundit, and he wanted to destroy the false pride of people who were arrogant due to their great learning. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madhapuman. That too much wealth, too much knowledge, high education, a high respectable position in society, and physical beauty can make one proud. And that is the greatest disqualification for spiritual life, is false pride. How elegant it is in the eyes of God when a person has all of these things and remains very humble and respectful to others. But this is a rare quality. Usually, along with material opulences, the false ego grows. When the false ego grows, one thinks, I am superior to others. And when you feel that you're superior to others, you think condescending toward them, and you hurt their hearts. You make offenses to them. It happens time and time again. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a little boy, he was playing the part of a scholar just to crush the pride of all the scholars. Because in those days, scholarship was the greatest opulence there was. More attractive than physical beauty, more attractive than wealth, more attractive than political power, more attractive than athletic abilities, was knowledge. The sport of that time was scholarly debate. It had more interest to the citizens of Navadvip than cricket does for the people of Bombay. Intense competition of intellect and scriptural study. So little Nimai, he used to cry out to everyone, all of you, you call yourselves scholars, you call yourselves Bhattacharyas and Mishras. It is all just a hoax. It is all just a show. You do not even have the example in your life in which the basic principles of grammar are understood properly. I challenge anyone to defeat my logic. Little Nimai had the power to even defeat Brihaspati, the teacher of the gods. And no one could stand before him, although he was very young. Murari Gupta, very learned. He would hear all the bragging of Nimai and just ignore him and carry on with his studies. But Nimai just would not leave him alone. He said, Murari, you're a doctor. You're an Ayurvedic doctor. What are you doing studying Sanskrit grammar? Go home. Go home. Go back to your leaves and vines and herbs. You will not find anything in these books about mucus, bile, and indigestion. Go home and hear the sick. Sanskrit grammar is the pinnacle of knowledge. What qualifications you have. Now, Murari Gupta, being Hanuman, is a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. He could get very angry, but he remained very calm. He said, Nimai, why are you so arrogant? Why are you always challenging everyone and boasting so loud? Have I not ever been answered all of your questions? Go ahead, ask me any question that you like, and I will answer. Nimai said, what did you study today? Murarigupta explained, and everything he said, Nimai, according to Shastras, according to logic, just explained a completely different understanding and defeated Murarigupta's statements. Murarigupta would come back and defeat the Lord's statements, and it was going back and forth. Murarigupta was a great scholar, and Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to see Murarigupta's sincerity that he placed his hand on Murari's body. Suddenly, Murarigupta felt the ecstasy of love of God just traveling like thrilling rushes up and down his body. His hair started and stood on end. Murari was thinking, who is this boy? Who is he? He is not an ordinary boy. He's the most learned scholar in all the planet. It is not possible for any human being to know what he knows. And just by touching my body, I'm thrilled with ecstasy. Then with folded palms, he turned to Nimai and said, from this day on, I am your humble student. Please instruct me. Nimai very effectively taught the principle of humility and the danger of arrogance and pride by defeating all of the scholars of Navadvip, including even the Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri. But then he met his guru in Gaya, Sripad Ishwarapuri. At that time, Nimai became more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. At that time, Nimai was intoxicated with love of God and set out to establish within this world the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of God's holy names, as the most sublime process of purification. It was the Lord's Leela. The Supreme Absolute Truth hid his own treasure of his supreme nature. He hid his love. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who comes in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotees. Srila Prabhupada explained it in a very simple way, that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us, sarva dharman puritya mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And then Krishna explains how this surrender is to be done. It is not the surrender of a defeated military general who begrudgingly becomes subordinate to his opponent. It is the surrender of the free will of the heart as an expression of the highest and most intimate love. That is surrender. Krishna explains, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nannamaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te pratip. That always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. The conclusion of all the scriptures is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna in a spirit of love and service. So Krishna instructed, but in this age of Kali, how many people are willing to follow? Therefore, Krishna comes again in the age of Kali in the role of his supreme devotee, Srimati Radharani, to teach us by his example how to always remember Krishna, how to be his devotee. Srila Prabhupada explains it in a way that when a teacher is instructing her elementary school students the alphabet, she writes, according to a particular process, this is the exercise of how to write A. This is how to write B. And when it comes to arithmetic, 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. She's going through all the exercises. Now, the teacher doesn't need to go through all these exercises. She knows everything, but she goes through the whole process just to practically teach the students. In the same way, the Supreme Lord descends and takes the role of his own devotee just to teach us how to be devotee. That is Lord Chaitanya. He became a menial, humble servant of his guru and a loving servant of all the devotees and a compassionate friend of all living beings. So he returned to to Navadvip. And at that time, he established the Sankirtan movement. One day, he was walking through the lanes of Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya is such a special and wonderful avatar. His mission is to live in the role of a devotee to teach us all how to receive the highest treasure. But on certain occasions, either due to an environmental impetus or due to the ecstatic love of his devotees, he would uncontrollably manifest his supreme divinity. Uncontrollably, not as per our understanding. It was just the ecstasy of his love for all living beings. So one day as he was walking, he heard someone chanting the various names of Lord Vishnu. And he heard with great devotion the name Varaha, the Lord who appeared in this world long ago in the form of a boar to lift the earth from a helpless condition. So he just started crying out, Varaha, Varaha, and ran right to Murari Gupta's house. Murari Gupta saw the Lord coming and he came out to offer him a sitting place, but Lord was just running back and forth saying, Varaha, Varaha, Varaha. Then he saw in Murari Gupta's temple there was a beautiful little water pot. The Lord manifested his form as Varaha Dev and lifted the water pot, which represented the earth, with his tusks, with his hooves. And then he looked at and Murari Gupta was shocked. He was in ecstasy. the Lord had just turned into the Varaha avatar. And the Lord said, Murari, offer prayers to me. Murari Gupta said, how can I offer prayers? What do I know? I don't know anything. Even Ananta Shesha, with all of his mouths, he cannot find the end of your glories. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Shukadev, Narada, they cannot find the end of your glories. They cannot fully understand you. Only you understand yourself. Who am I to offer any prayers to you? The Lord was pleased. He said, because you have satisfied me, I have shown you this wonderful form. Long ago, I appeared with this form to lift up the earth from the darkness of ignorance. And now I have come again, I have incarnated in this world to again lift up the earth from the darkness of ignorance by giving the greatest of all benedictions, the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. This form that you see is my eternal loving form. All the forms of the avatars have their eternal existence in the spiritual sky. All the universes are emanating from my form. All reality exists by my will. Murari, the highest truth is to understand that I incarnate into this world to attract people to love with pure hearts my eternal form. But there is a sannyasi living in Varanasi who, by his explanation of Vedanta, is constantly cutting my body into pieces. He claims that my form is an illusion. The entire cosmic manifestation that is an energy coming out of my form, he claims that it is all false. In this way, he is cutting and beating my body. He does not know it, but I have already put leprosy in his body. Of course, later on, he surrendered and the Lord delivered him. Said Murari Gupta, because you have love for my transcendental eternal form, therefore not only you, but all of your assistants, all of your servants, all of your maidservants are most dear to my life. Murari Gupta, his various assistants, servants and maidservants were watching this whole affair. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave all of them divine love of God. He gave them the highest benediction. What was their qualification? That they were loved by a devotee. That they were dear to the heart of a Vaishnav. Because they had an attachment to the Lord's great devotee, that was enough for them to receive the Lord's infinite, causeless mercy. In this occasion, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that even the greatest learned scholars if they do not properly honor and respect the Lord's devotees because of their false pride, they get nothing spiritually. But Murari Gupta's servants and maidservants, they were not educated. They had no position in society. They were just doing the most menial tasks. But because they had an attachment to a devotee, they were given the supreme benediction. Through this wonderful pastime, the Lord wanted to teach the world that there's no higher benediction that we can possibly gain in life than the opportunity to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Because through this process, love of God is accessible to everyone and to anyone. One day, Lord Chaitanya was sitting in the house of Srivas Thakur along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Murari Gupta came in and offered his prostrated obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, and then offered his prostrated obeisances, bowing down to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya spoke, "Murari, why have you done this? You have broken the proper etiquette of respect toward Vaishnavas." And Murari Gupta said, "I don't understand." He said, "Why have you done like this?" Murari Gupta said, "You are always in my heart. Whatever you make me do, I do, my lord. Whatever you make me do, I do. What did I do wrong?" The Lord said, "Tonight, I will reveal it to you." So that night, Murari Gupta took rest at the regular time and had a spiritual vision in the form of a dream. Therein, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu with the garment of Lord Balaram, holding a plow and a club with Ananta Shesha over his head. And then walking behind him was Lord Chaitanya, who appeared as Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya smiled at Murari in the dream and said, "You see, he is my older brother, you see?" Then both Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya smiled and disappeared. The next morning, as soon as he awoke, he went to Srivas Thakur's house. And there, he first bowed down to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and then bowed down to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "Murari, why have you done that?" And Murari Gupta said, "My lord, I am your servant. I am like a piece of straw in the river. Whatever way the waves of your mercy push me is where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do." Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm very pleased with you." Gadadhar Pandit was standing at the side of the Lord, and he gave Lord Chaitanya tambula, a chewing spice. Lord Chaitanya chewed it for some time and took it out of his mouth and handed it to Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta took it and put it in his mouth. As soon as he tasted the Mahaprasad of Lord Chaitanya, his whole heart was just exploding with ecstatic spiritual bliss. Emotions of love were manifesting all over his body. And then Lord Chaitanya said that, "My saliva is now on your hands. Go and wash your hands, Murari. Wash your hands." And Murari took his hands and rubbed it on top of his head. "Huh? What have you done? You are a Brahmin. By doing this, you have become contaminated. You will lose your caste. Why have you done like this? Murarigupta was so thrilled by tasting the sweet remnants from Lord Chaitanya's mouth that he could not speak even anything. He just went home. And meanwhile, when he went home, it was about noontime. I'm sorry, it was the evening. When he went home, it was the evening. He was still intoxicated with ecstatic love. He was saying things that were opposite to the things he was doing. He was in a trance. Nobody could understand what he was doing. His wife was thinking, I know my husband is a very, very, very great personality, but what is happening to him? So then he sat down and he asked his wife for dinner. So she brought him some very first-class cooked rice with pure ghee. And Murarigupta, he sprinkled the ghee on the rice. And in his spiritually intoxicated state, he took the rice soaked with ghee in his hand and was holding out to the air as if it was feeding somebody's mouth, but there was nobody there. And he would say, eat, eat, my lord, eat, 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 then throw the rice on the floor. Then he would take another handful of rice, eat, 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 my lord, eat, 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 and scatter it on the floor, eat, 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 scatter floor, eat, eat, eat. He was throwing the rice all over the floor, and his wife was watching, and she kept bringing him more and more and more and more, and he'd get, eat, 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 throwing. She understood, he's a great soul. Whatever he's doing must be, have a reason. Krishna always accepts the offerings of his devotees because love is beyond time or any geographical limitations. At any time, anywhere, a devotee offers her or his heart to Krishna. Krishna, who's within the heart of every living being, who's situated in and between every atom, Krishna will accept our love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachchati. Krishna says in Gita, offer me even a little fruit, a flower, a water. With devotion, I will accept it. Early the next morning, Lord Chaitanya came to the door of Murarigupta's house. Murarigupta was very much surprised. He offered the Lord a sitting place. He said, my Lord, why have you come to my home so early in the morning? Lord Chaitanya said, it is because you are a doctor. I need your help. Oh, what is the cause? What is your problem? He said, I am suffering due to indigestion. Murarigupta asked, can you ascertain what you have eaten that has caused indigestion so I can prescribe the proper medicine to you? Huh? You are asking? You do not know? You were soaking that rice in ghee and throwing it on the floor saying, eat, 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 eat. You are my devotee. You tell me to eat. I must eat. I was eating all that ghee-soaked rice off the floor because that is what you were offering to me. And today I have indigestion. And because your offering has caused my indigestion, it is your water that will cure my indigestion. Because drinking lots of water is the cure for indigestion. And then Lord Chaitanya took the personal drinking cup of Murarigupta and drank everything. Just to show the world, his love for his devotee.
Murari Gupta practically fell unconscious to see the Lord drinking the water that he had drunk from.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed that this water is like the sweetest of all nectar, because it is the water from the lips of a Vaishnav, my devotee. Should I continue? One day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the house of Srivas, and all of a sudden he manifested his forearm form of Vishnu, holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club, and he started crying out, "Garuda, Garuda, Garuda!" And Murari Gupta was at his house, but he heard the loud calling of Garuda, so he came running. He said, "My lord, I am he, I am he, I am Garuda. Jump on my back, I'll take you to any planet, to any universe you want to go. Do you not remember, my lord, I took you to the heavenly planets and together we stole the Parijata tree from Indra? Do you remember when you were on me and we had that battle? And I defeated with my claws the peacock carrier of Kartikeya?" Said, "I am Garuda, jump on my back." Lord Chaitanya jumped on his back. And they were running all around Srivas Thakur's house, the whole compound running, running, and all the devotees were just chanting the holy names very ecstatically. All the ladies were laughing and laughing and loudly calling out the holy names of the Lord and singing beautiful songs and making wonderful sounds with their tongues. They did this for a long time. Then Lord Chaitanya assumed his regular form, and Murari Gupta, he came off Murari Gupta's back. And then they went on with their Harinam Sankirtan. One day, Murari Gupta was home at his house, and he was thinking very deeply that the Lord incarnates in this world to deliver the fallen souls, to reveal his infinite causeless mercy. But why he does certain things, I'll never understand. He causes so much pain to his devotees. Ravana stole Sita from Ram. Ram fought an entire battle after searching for almost a year to get Sita back. But then Ram banished Sita to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. Why does the Lord do things like this? The Lord lived for many long years, over 90 years in Dwarka. And then he created a fratricidal war amongst the Yadu dynasty, and the Lord watched and let it happen. Why does the Lord do these things? While I'm still in the association of the Lord, I have strength. But if the Lord were to do something like this, if the Lord were to leave the world, it would be impossible for me to survive. Therefore, Murari Gupta said, "I will take my life tonight because I do not want to see the Lord perform these leelas that cause suffering to his devotees' hearts." He procured a very sharp knife that is specially meant for sawing open coconuts. And he hid it in his house, thinking, "Tonight I will use this to take my life." Minutes later, Lord Chaitanya came to his house. Oh, please have a seat, my lord. Why have you come? He said, I have come because I want that knife. What knife? Who has told you about a knife? The knife that you want to take your life with. Huh? Who has concocted this lie and spread this rumor to you? The Lord said, you do not understand. I know everything. I am within the core of your heart. I know your every thought. I know your every word. I know your every action. You cannot hide anything from me. Then the Lord got up and went right into the house of Mararigupta, right to the hiding place, took out the knife, came back, and said, Murari, all the pleasure I have in my life is by your association. How will I enjoy my pastimes without you? Then he placed Mararigupta's hand on his own head, and he said, why you want to take off my head by leaving me? Do you not know how much pain that will cause me? The Lord's love for his devotees is something extraordinary and wonderful. Mararigupta became full of happiness, full of peace. During the Mahaprakash Leela, 21 hours on the throne of Srivasa's altar, Lord Chaitanya was revealing the innermost heart's desires of all of his devotees. Whatever particular form of the Lord each devotee worshipped, he was manifesting that form to his devotee and offering to provide any benediction they desired. He gave benedictions to Gangadas Pandit, to Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Kolavetar Sridhar, Haridas Thakur, and then he called for Murari. Mararigupta came before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya manifested right before Mararigupta's eyes and that of all the devotees his beautiful form of Sri Ram. He was sitting on a beautiful royal throne of gold and jewels. The Lord had a complexion, fresh green like the Durba grass. He was holding a golden bow, and on his back was a quiver of arrows. On his left side was Sita, and on his right side was Lakshman. When Mararigupta saw this, he fell to the ground unconscious, unable to control the emotions of his love. And Lord Chaitanya cried out to him, hey monkey, arise! Ravana has stolen Sita, and you have burned down his whole city with the flames on your tail. Do you not remember? Do you not remember? I remember everything, but you have forgotten. Today I am revealing to you who you are. And he says, do you not see? Here is Sita, the beloved object of all of your love. Bow down to Mother Sita. Sing her plight in the Ashok Grove of Ravana's island. You wept a shoreless ocean of tears. And look, here is Lakshman, who you love more than your own life and soul. You saved his life by lifting the Gandhamadana mountain. Bow down before him. He saw. Mararigupta saw the host of all the leaders of the monkey soldiers surrounding Sri Ram. And then he looked down and saw that he had a tail. And he looked at his body, and he had the body of a monkey. And he fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You are Hanuman! You have forgotten, but today I have revealed the truth of your identity. Now ask from me any benediction." Murarigupta replied that, "I want nothing from you, my lord. I am perfectly satisfied, engaged in your loving service. Ask, ask. I want to give you something." Murarigupta revealed the inner heart of a real devotee. "My dear lord, if you want to offer me a benediction, there's only one benediction that I wish. Allow me to always remember you with love. Let my tongue constantly chant your names and glories in the association of your devotees. Every time you incarnate in the world, my lord, let me always remain the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. Other than this, there is no other desire in my heart." Lord Chaitanya blissfully replied, "So be it. Your benediction is fulfilled." And all the devotees cheered with joy. Hari Bol. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Murarigupta. "Yes, he appears just to be an ordinary householder performing his medical business. A devotee never tries to show off their greatness. A devotee takes millions of times more pleasure glorifying other people's good qualities. That is the test in which we can understand how our heart is pure. How much are we attached to speaking and hearing our own glories? And how much are we attached to taking pleasure in other people's glories? Vaishnav means, in essence, one who is free of envy. One who other people's good fortune is their pleasure. Paradukaduki. And other people's sadness is their sadness. That was the nature of Murarigupta. Although Hanuman himself, most learned scholar, most dear advanced devotee of the Lord, he was more humble than a blade of grass and always eager to offer all respect to others. Our spiritual progress is determined by what Krishna sees from within our hearts, not by the show we put on to impress others. If that's what you want, that's what you get. This is a universal truth. In the New Testament of the Bible, Lord Jesus has said that if you put on a show, the way you pray, the way you fast, just to get the honor and respect of others, that's what you'll get, the honor and the respect of others. But you will not get the favor of God. If you want the favor of God, you must be honest and humble and sincere in your devotion. Because humility is the ornament that attracts Krishna's heart. Murarigupta was personification of humility. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to glorify his love for Ram, wrote on Murari Gupta's forehead, Ram, 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 Ram. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and was living in Puri, and I'm going to end the lecture very soon. One more story. All the devotees came to meet the Lord at Gambira, the Lord's residence. And Lord Chaitanya was asking for Murari Gupta. He loved his devotees so dearly. Murari Gupta and his wife, they would cook prasad for Lord Chaitanya and offer it to him, and made Lord Chaitanya so very, very happy. And she was equal to him in every way in her love and devotion and the favor the Lord showed upon her. Lord Chaitanya embraced Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was saying, "My Lord, I cannot sit beside you. I am too contaminated. I am too fallen. I have no right to even come in the same room as you." But Lord Chaitanya forcibly, practically put him on his lap and was embracing him, showering mercy. And then Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Murari Gupta's devotion as if he had many, many, many mouths. He said, "One time I tested Murari Gupta's love. Would you like to hear?" Yeah. So I said, "Murari, join me and worship Krishna. Why are you worshiping Lord Rama? No doubt Lord Rama is the supreme personality of Godhead. God is one. Krishna and Rama are the same person. But still, Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. He is the most complete of all incarnations. And his loving pastimes with the gopis and gopas in Vrindavan are the sweetest, most satisfying of all rasas. So take the name of Krishna and worship Krishna." Murari Gupta could never say no to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Yes, I will do." And he went home and tried to chant the names of Krishna and meditate on Krishna. But the only personality that appeared within his mind was the beautiful form of Sri Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath and Kausalya, the lord of Ayodhya, the brother of Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman, the life and soul of Sita Devi. He wept all night long. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya said, "Murari came to me and said, I tried to follow your order to fix my mind on Krishna, but it is impossible. I have already given my head, I've given my life, I've given everything to Lord Sri Ram, and I cannot take it back. It is impossible for me. But at the same time, how could I live not following your instruction? So my Lord, please grant me permission to end my life." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled in great satisfaction. He said, "Murari, I congratulate you. Your love and your devotion to Sri Ram is perfectly chaste and faithful. I was simply testing you. One must have an Ishtadev and give one's heart to one's Ishtadev. And once giving one's heart to one's Ishtadev, one can never take it back. That is love." He said, "This is no surprise, Murari, that you cannot take your heart away from Lord Ram for even a moment, because you are Hanuman, his most loving servitor." Yes. Sanatan Dharma, which was taught in its fullness by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not about sectarianism or small-mindedness. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show through his devotee Murari Gupta the universal oneness of true religion. Lord Chaitanya said, "Blessed is that devotee who never, ever, ever gives up the worship of the lotus feet of his beloved Lord. And blessed is that Lord who is so merciful, who even if the devotee tries to do so, he brings him back by the hair." Hare Krishna. And in this relationship, I'd like to tell some story of how I personally witnessed this. I have told it many times, but it is dear to my heart. One of my godbrothers, Hayagriva Prabhu, in very early days, was the first person to really substantially help Srila Prabhupada, especially in his book publications. The time, the summer of 1966, the place, Houston Street, on the Lower East Side of New York City. Hayagriva Prabhu, who was then Howard Wheeler, he was a professor of English. He had just come back from India. Prabhupada in 1965 came from Calcutta to New York City on Jaladuta, which is a cargo ship. Hayagriva, at that time Howard Wheeler, along with Kirtanananda Maharaj, whose name then was Keith, they wanted to go to India, and they had very little money. So in 1965, the return voyage from New York to Calcutta, they were on Jaladuta. And they returned on Jaladuta the next year. They were looking for spiritual life. They were looking for guru. But they were very, very disappointed by what they found in India. They were just, by Krishna's grace, the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. But they still wanted to find someone. So here is Howard walking down Houston Street, the Lower East Side of New York, and he sees across the street there's a shaved-headed Swami in saffron robes, wearing little white pointed plastic shoes. So Hayagriva ran across the street. And he ran right up to Swamiji and said, "Are you from India? Are you coming from India?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Are you?" Which he was. Srila Prabhupada introduced himself, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He said, "I just started a little place for giving Bhagavad Gita talks. I'd like you to come and tell me how I can improve it." It was a little storefront on 26 Second Avenue. And Srila Prabhupada told, he asked Hayagriva, "Do you have any suggestions how I can make this presentation more appealing to young Americans like yourself? And please come for the next class and bring your friends." So Howard Wheeler came. And they were talking. And Srila Prabhupada very graciously asked Howard Wheeler about his life. He said, "I am a professor of English." He said, "Oh, would you like to help me? I have some manuscripts. Would you like to help me edit it?" He said, "I'd be
honored to do so. So he brought him in his room, and he gave him a stack of about 1,000 pages of manuscripts. He said, "You can start with this." And he said, "When you complete this, I have this also." And there were trunkloads of manuscripts, all written by hand. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pages. So Hayagriva Prabhu very graciously performed that service for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada on more than one occasion said that Hayagriva Prabhu was the best writer of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he helped him in many ways. In 1972, Hayagriva Prabhu came to Vrindavan when Prabhupada gave his 1 month lecture series on Nectar of Devotions at the Radha Damodar Temple. But soon after that, because of his past bad habits and his conditionings, he fell away from the regulative principles. Out of respect, we will not go into details, but he was engaging in many very lowly activities. Activities that were not cruel or evil, but were destructive to one's own morality, ethics, or spirituality. Intoxications, illicit relationships, so many things. He was quite fallen. But Srila Prabhupada always remembered that he helped me. And that's something Prabhupada would never forget. Anyone who ever helped him in any way, that's really all that mattered. Hayagriva had one special quality. However fallen he may have been, he was not an envious person. He would not criticize others. That's a special quality. Because oftentimes when you have a respectable position and due to your own weaknesses you lose it, you want to give the blame to others. You want to find fault with others. To compensate for your own weaknesses, you criticize and demean other people through your words and actions. That is an unfortunate way of human nature. But Srila Prabhupada invested within his heart a certain purity that although his life was full of many immoralities, he would not criticize or find faults with others. Prabhupada was always asking for him. Ordinary devotees in the movement were thinking, "He's just a fallen soul. Look at what he's doing. Abominable. Disgusting." But Prabhupada would ask, "Where is Hayagriva? Where is Hayagriva? Bring him to me." At one time when Prabhupada was in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu, it came to Prabhupada's attention that Hayagriva Prabhu was living somewhere there in Hawaii. Prabhupada said, "Please bring him to me." And Hayagriva came. No longer with shaved head and dhoti. He had long, long hair and a big beard. And civilian-type clothes. His heart was full of shame. He just bowed. He laid his body before Prabhupada's lotus feet and was weeping and crying. and shame. And Prabhupada just lifted him up, embraced him, rubbed his head with such fatherly affection. With tender and sweet words, he encouraged Hayagriva Prabhu. "I'd like you to do some service for me," and gave him more manuscripts to edit. He was in that condition, but Prabhupada still wanted him to be editing his books. Although factually there were many qualified editors who were very strictly, staunchly brahmacharis, grihastas, sannyasis, who would have been eager to do the work. But Prabhupada never forgot that with a sincere heart, he wanted to help me, and he did. And Prabhupada was always there to encourage him. In 1977, November, Srila Prabhupada closed the last chapter of his pastimes in this manifested world. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, Hayagriva Prabhu fell even lower. Because that person who was always calling him out of his very, very difficult struggles against the mind and senses, Prabhupada kept calling him, "Now who's going to care about me?" Hayagriva Prabhu, 88-89, he was living in the beaches of Goa. And that's not usually a place for a Vaishnav to be living, for those of you who know about the beaches of Goa. And on one of his godbrother's instructions, Srinathji went to Goa and was searching Srinathji Prabhu. He had no idea where. He was just somewhere in the beaches of Goa. He just was searching. He found Hayagriva Prabhu, I believe, under a boat on the sand. Hayagriva Prabhu, just about that time, became a victim of cancer. An impossible to cure form of cancer. It took hold of his spine, practically paralyzed his legs. Hayagriva Prabhu, "I've never seen anything like this. Everything Prabhupada invested in him just blossomed like a flower. He totally surrendered with total humility. Only one desire in life, just to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to be in the association of Krishna's devotees. I would sit with him for hours and hours and hours in a day and read to him from Srila Prabhupada's books. He had such deep, profound love and attachment to Srila Prabhupada. It was amazing. Even staunch, stalwart people who never budge from the principles, it's very rare to find anyone that had such realization of Prabhupada's mercy, such deep love for Srila Prabhupada.
There's a story. It was in about 1969. New Vrindavan was just begun. And Srila Prabhupada wanted Hayagriva to be the president of New Vrindavan. Hayagriva was absolutely against being the president of New Vrindavan. And he had every argument to present to Prabhupada, to convince Prabhupada that he would not be the president of New Vrindavan. But yet he was getting all these indications from other people. Prabhupada's talking about how he wants you to be the president of New Vrindavan. He'd say, I will not, I will not, I will convince Prabhupada I'm not the one. So Prabhupada called for him, and he rehearsed, memorized, practiced all his arguments why he will not be the president of New Vrindavan. And he came into Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada smiled at him, said, Hayagriva, I would like you to perform a particular service. Hayagriva was ready, poised to reveal his mind. He said, what is that, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, I want you to take sannyas. He was off guard. He was not expecting that. Sannyas? You want me to take the vows of a swami? He said, yes, I'm thinking that would be very good for you. He said, but I have so many desires. He said, no, you chant Hare Krishna, the desires will go away. But Prabhupada, I have obligations like this. He said, that's all right. Those obligations are not so... But Prabhupada, he was just... He was bumbling, he was trembling, he was in complete anxiety. And every argument he had against taking sannyas, Prabhupada just defeated instantly with precision expertise. And Hayagriva was crying. Prabhupada, please, I can't take sannyas. I can't take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, then instead of sannyas, will you be the president of New Vrindavan? He said, yes, I'd love to be the president of New Vrindavan. So he became the president of New Vrindavan. So they had a very loving relationship. And I'll never forget, he wanted to take sannyas. This is just about a month before he passed away from this world. He wanted to take sannyas. And he couldn't walk. So in the temple, there was a ceremony. And by Prabhupada's mercy, I had the good fortune of coming up from the temple to hand him his danda, the staff of a sannyasi. He was just living in a very simple little room, laying in a bed, unable to sit up. And when I came in with that tridanda, sannyasi staff, he looked at the danda, and he saw Srila Prabhupada in that danda. He started weeping and crying in ecstatic love. He was not looking at me, he was looking at the danda in my hand and started speaking, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. In 1969 you asked me to take sannyas. Now it's 1989. He said, I'm sorry I've kept you waiting so long. And then I handed him the danda, and he just took that danda. No lover could possibly embrace their beloved the way he embraced that danda. He just took it in his hands and
rubbed his head and was weeping and crying and was pressing it against his heart as if it was Srila Prabhupada himself. He said, Prabhupada, I know I kept you waiting a long time, but I did it. I did it. You asked me to take sannyas, and I've taken sannyas, Srila Prabhupada. Your love, your kindness, that you've patiently waited for me all of these years. I was just standing in the corner of the room weeping to see the quantity and quality of the love and gratitude in his heart. He considered his disease to be a great benediction because it woke him up to what he really wanted in life. One day he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, I have no regrets. I have no regrets that I'm going to die any day. I have no regrets that there's unbearable pain throughout my body. I have no regrets that I'm an invalid and I'll never walk again. I only have one regret in my life. And then he was like a little baby weeping with a faltering voice. He spoke, my only regret is over the years I could have done so much to serve my guru, Srila Prabhupada, but due to my weak-heartedness, I did not. I wasted so much of his precious time. When he said that, I was very deeply moved. And then Hayagriva Prabhu, with so much love and gratitude, he concluded by saying that through all of my mischief, through all of my sins and bad behavior, Srila Prabhupada was always there for me, always waiting for me. And Srila Prabhupada has so causelessly extended his mercy to bring me back into his eternal loving service. At that moment, I remembered this passage from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Murari Gupta and said, blessed is that devotee who never gives up the loving service of his Lord. And blessed is that merciful Lord who, even if that devotee goes astray, will never give up, will bring him back, even if the only way to do so is by the hair. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So what is bhakti about? It is about causeless mercy. By our endeavors in this world, with the help of God, we may be able to make lots of money. We may be champion athletes. We may be famous at the very top of our particular field in whatever it may be. We may become very famous. We may live very long, healthy lives. By our severe austerities, meditation, we may attain mystic potencies in which we could perform deeds that appear like miracles before ordinary man. We could perform such mystical powers that foolish people will even worship us as God? By our efforts, with the help of God, we can even achieve liberation, entrance into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, mukti. But prem, love of God, is utterly impossible for a human being to achieve by any endeavor. Why is that? Krishna explains, pure devotional service is very rare, because when there is love of God in our heart, by Krishna's own loving nature, the Lord is conquered by the love of his devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Haridas Thakur, Haridas, because of your love for me, I am a prisoner in your heart. To Vasudev Dutt, whose love for all living beings was so deep, he was willing to go through any difficulty to help others to love Krishna. The Lord said, I am sold, I am your property. Wherever you want to sell me, I am sold. Bhakti is so powerful that it conquers the all-powerful. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsal. So Krishna does not give love so easy. Love of God is only possible by one way, and that is the causeless mercy of the Lord, that he awakens it in our hearts. There is no other way in the history of creation that anyone could achieve the highest pinnacle of human perfection, love of God, except by the mercy of the Lord. But how does that mercy descend into our lives? The Lord's instructions is his mercy. By following the teachings of the Lord sincerely and honestly, when we have a genuine, honest, humble heart, we call out the Lord's names, we develop attachment for hearing the Lord's glories, and we want to make great efforts to help others, to lift up others. When the Lord sees that we simply have sincerity for these things, that attracts his mercy. It's not a question of who we are or where we're born or what caste we're from. It's not a question of how learned we are, how charismatic we are. We could be the most simple people, unheard of by anyone. But if we are sincere, if we are humble, and we follow the principles of pure devotional service, with that desire in our heart, with that greed, with that longing to serve the Lord, that longing to love the Lord, that attracts the mercy of the Lord. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. If we have this disposition and we call out for the Lord's mercy and chant his names, then even Jagai and Madhai were delivered. What to speak of any of the rest of us? When devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification? He said, you had no qualifications. we have made your qualifications. Arrogance repels the Lord. Humility attracts the Lord. Sincerity and the cultivation of that deep longing and desire for devotional service, that is the price for pure love. And it is begging for that benediction, prema bhikkhari, beggars of love. If you think you have a lot, you can't be a bona fide beggar. Yes? A real beggar is someone who really feels, I need. That is called lobha, spiritual longing. Prema bhikkhari means one who is begging for love, with all humility, begging for God's love, begging for God's grace. That is the spirit in which we serve. That is the spirit in which we study the scriptures. That is the spirit in which we communicate with others. And that is the spirit in which we cry out the holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. At this time, we will have Sankirtan.